Hello, friends, and welcome to the Optimized Advisor Podcast, where we focus on optimizing the well-being and best practices of insurance and financial professionals today. On this show, our objective is to help you optimize your life, optimize your profession, and learn from other optimized advisors. I'm your host, Scott Heinola. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, thank you both for joining us today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On the Optimized Advisor Podcast. We appreciate your time. I'm very, very excited to hear about all the good things that are going on in the world of females and finance. You know, I'm reading here our brand, People, Passion, and Performance. And I can't think of something that, you know, emulates that more than females and finance and the work that you are doing. Sincerely, I mean, it's all, I mean,
I know you mean it.
Which we want to talk a little bit of, definitely want to talk about the success that you had at the Riskalyze Summit, which was incredible all around, top to bottom, both what females,
amazing advice, event,
but also as a conference in and of itself. It was a wonderful event. Jade, what's her name? She was
Jade Simmons.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Right.
I was in one of the best industry presentations I have ever seen in the way that she delivered that, and just her natural abilities was exceptional.
Amen.
Anyways, I digress.
And I have the same shirt as her. She said that in front of everybody, and I felt so about this. Remember, I was like, look, I got the same shirt as Jade.
The point is, people love you. People love what you're doing. Mm. You are extremely passionate about the cause that you are delivering upon. Which leads right into performance.
Yeah.
So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Kudos to all of us, because it takes all of us to make it happen. Seriously. And I mean that.
It really does. I mean, you're not you're an individual who has this incredible organization, but you have all of the support around you that a lot of people don't generally see. They don't see that you're uplifted and you have support coming from all of these other places, but it's because everybody truly believes in everything that you're building and that you're trying to achieve with females in finance.
Yeah, I think I try to do a good job of highlighting those individuals every day, you know, like, hey, pay attention to what this person's doing, or hey, look what this person did, or hey, look at this podcast Scott did. You know, I mean, it's important because the work that we do is so much more than just whether it's the papers, the accounts we open, or the apps we fill out, or it's just so much more than that. And I try to put the emphasis on that.
Yeah. So let's take a step back for those who don't know. There might be only one or two.
There's more than that, Scott.
Tell us more about females in finance. What is your purpose? Why do you exist? How do you exist? Just tell us your story.
So I think that I built females in finance because everything that I joined just didn't meet the need of what I was looking for. So I was going to industry events. I was going to women-centric events. I was doing all of this. And every single time I would show up, oftentimes that would look exactly the same. For example, and I'll watch Beth's head to see if it nods, and anybody who's watching this, put a I get you in the comments. And that is going someplace that's not fun to drive to, having to pay for an overpriced, you know, salad meal, whatever, to find out that they want to teach you something as simple as how, let's organize your calendar today. Like it seemed so superficial. Mm-hmm. And yet I was going to these conferences, and a lot of times I would look. And so, you know, it's funny, you talked about Jade Simmons, like blown away at how she tied all of these different pieces together for this performance. It was a performance. Let's just be honest. It wasn't even a presentation. It was a performance. Right. And yet, so many of us go to events and we don't get that, that you felt like you walked out of there, like, yeah, like that's how I felt when Jade did her performance, right? Women were going to these and I'd walk out and go, eh.
Yeah.
I think I was more excited, to be honest, at any of the events I did go to for the networking. And they never give you enough time to network. Like I would want to meet with Beth and be like, hey, how can we do business? Or, hey, tell me about your business. So when I built Females in Finance, I took all of the for lack of better words, annoying things that I was finding things that were just in my craw that I just couldn't get unsettled with, and thought, I'm going to build something so incredibly unique that it might actually be difficult to describe until you experience it. Mm-hmm. Because think about it, going back to Jade's performance, for anybody watching this, go look up Jade Simmons. It will, you can look at her YouTube, you know, channel, all this stuff. But if she had tried to describe that performance to us, think about how shortchanged that would have been had we not experienced it.
You would have no idea.
I don't think there's a person on this, there's not a person on this podcast right now that could go tell anybody what we experienced that day without them doing it themselves. Would you agree?
100%. Yes. Yeah.
And that was what I was capturing at Females in Finance. Mm-hmm. Because when people say to me, because they want something that sounds nuts and bolts, it's a checklist. They're like, well, what do you provide? Well, I can't give you these things, but you just, and I say all the time, but you got to experience it.
Right.
And that's why we vet everyone. Because if I just had like a come join and you get in, I want to know who you are and make sure you have the very best experience customized to who you are, personalized for what you need. And then we get to build the rest together.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. As attending other events and organizations that are designed around women, that was honestly one of the greatest things that drew me, besides Cheryl when we first met, but that drew me to Females in Finance was how different and unique it was compared to some of the other organizations that I've been a member of. It really is a community feel that also gives back to everybody who's part of that. And you do an amazing job of recognizing the accomplishments of those people who are in the community and uplift them and really shine a light on who they are and what they're conquering the world at.
So I want to capitalize on what you just said there about shining a light. So I was meeting with a woman on a Zoom call, and I can see every one of your faces on her. You can see mine. And yet hers was very dark. And every time I would meet with her, she didn't have very good lighting. And I asked her about that. And, you know, I think it's a confidence thing. I honestly do, because then you have to put the light on it, right? And I didn't tell her, but I ordered her own light and a double O-ring that would come up over her computer. So it would give her, I said, I never want to see you in the dark again, because you're too bright of a light inside of you. And it's not reflecting on your video calls. I want to see all of you when you talk to people. That was the message that I enclosed in the card when I sent it. And she called me and she's like, this package came and this message came. And I felt like I was seen. Like all these people you talk to in a day and you took the time to sit down and order something on Amazon just for me. And I said, that's right. Because the next time we meet, it's selfish. I want to see all of who you are. And I think that's the experience of what Females in Finance is. No, I'm not buying everybody a light. Don't come and become a member and think you're getting an immediate O-ring. It's not happening. But I do say that I would say that one of the things that I do that's special is I see each person and who they are. And a lot of times I see the things that they're not coming all the way leaning into who they are. And I do my darndest to match that up to make certain that they get there. You're not leaving our organization worse.
No.
Right.
Not on my watch. And even if you do leave, there's not a single person who, if they have left, could come back and say, well, I didn't get any referral. I'm very generous with referrals. I've made sure we're generous with our networking, generous with our, giving out of, you know, speaking and writing and things like that, because I am trying so hard to leave this profession better than the way I found it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Which let's transition to. I would love to talk and unpack a little bit about the Fearless Women's Summit.
Yeah.
Good. Let's just go through those three sessions, which were very impactful, very informative.
Right.
Very, very well done. So if we can, let's start with the first session, which
really, you want to start there, because I'm going to start with the hardest one, which is your session.
All right. This is your podcast. I just live here.
You just live here.
That's what I told him.
He went easy. No. I purposely built a mantle at the Fearless Women's Summit.
I did.
And I took such heat for it, because people are like,
did you really?
Oh, yeah, of course I did. Oh, trust me. There's so many opinions from the cheap seats. They always are. But I am. There's nothing about me that isn't strategic. I think things through. Trust me, my husband would be like, I think things very deeply and through. And I built that mantle with the intention of kind of ticking off a few people because I knew it would. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought that would garner some women. What's all these men doing on here? That's exactly what I wanted you to ask. So I'm so glad it did. Because the ones that did come were like blown away by your session, Scott, with Craig Iskowitz and mm-hmm. David Wood. Because the things that were discussed on there were exactly the issues
right.
that we see in that are lacking in female-centric, you know, focused, especially events and things. Yeah. We cannot solve the problem of making the change happen without men. I'm sorry for all the women who are listening right now. Just trust me. You're talking about and I don't care if it's financial services, automotive, trucking, you name it. If it's a male dominated field, the people who are going to help us get there faster and further are men. They dominate that space. So why not find the right ones, highlight what they're doing, and then have you each talk about how you're giving back so that they can identify those male allies and challenge them and let them champion them to make the change happen.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what that panel was about.
What was the general? So hold on. Actually, let's take a step back. Lay some of the groundwork statistically just for the audience of where we see ourselves as the financial and services industry in terms of males versus women. Let set the context.
Easy, 80-20. I mean, it's actually less.
It is
16%, I believe. 16-17 is women, but we're going to round to make it sound a little bit more, you know, people understand the 80-20 rule, right?
Correct.
And that's the case. If we have 20% of our profession, and that's a very overarching, think about financial services when you hear that, because it's wealth management, it is planning, it is insurance, it is banking, accounting, the list goes on.
Right.
And every one of those, the only one that I will give maybe a little bit of a hall pass to, it might be banking, because I do have a lot of women in banking, but at the senior level, no, it's still men.
Right.
That's very true. The statistic is, you're being generous, but it is 16%. I just researched this as part of the Fearless Women Summit, and it's 16%. Interestingly enough, with that, there are more women who are deciding to become CFPs. The percentage of the CFP women in the CFP space and financial services is actually a little bit higher when you look at CFPs, but overall in financial services, it's about 16%.
Yeah.
Wow. And so that was really setting the stage for, you know, this panel, if you will, and you cited the Harvard Business Review article.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very informative, very impactful. It certainly laid some of the groundwork for the conversation that helped guide some of the talking points.
Yeah, the aware, at, you know, activate and advocate. It's exactly the truth. I mean, you have to have an awareness before you can actually activate that awareness, right? And correct. Then once you activate the awareness, then how do you become an advocate? And I liken it much to, there's a book written by Jeff Goins called The Art of Work. And everybody must start at that apprentice level, right? Where you're mm-hmm. learning something. And then you have a teacher. And the teacher has, you know, a master. And then, and we cyclically go through this depending on how we change up our profession, or maybe we laterally move over into a different area, or we go up the ladder. I mean, we're always going to be in that apprentice, teacher, master space. We just keep cycling through that. And it's the same thing, even at the awareness, activation, advocate, you know, space. And you're definitely in the advocate space, Scott. You're out there advocating for women will change this profession, as I, you know, literally put my entire, you know, passion and life into believing that, because I do. But just because I'm saving dolphins doesn't mean I'm killing whales. And I say it all the time, because the sea of work that we have to do, the ocean of work, it's so vast, and we need the whole ecosystem for it to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you have follow-up conversation post-conference and some of the individuals that were present, as well as I'm sure some that were not? What was the general feedback from?
Oh, the general feedback was, why was this not on the main stage at Riskalyze. Yes. Aaron Klein, we're tagging you in this. Dan Bolton, we're tagging you. And I have to give, you know, I want to make
sure
I say
down,
this.
Danielle, write those down.
Write them down. Right? But no, I have to say something. They're the biggest champions of the work that we do. Aaron was the first one to sign that Fearless Pledge. And I appreciate him so much and deeply. But the women were very adamant about this being a main stage item, that we have to quit being not in a room someplace, although it was a beautiful room, don't get me wrong, until they started like drilling through the floor. He doesn't know that. Sorry, Aaron. It was your birthday. I didn't want to tell you.
Yeah.
But you know,
that became a little much.
It was a little much. And I never said it to Dan until just now. But you know, I think what the point of what they're trying to say is they don't want to be something that's in a back room someplace. They want that front and present so that the other men in the room who want to champion can say, yeah. And you saw how much pink was present at that conference. I was loving it. We felt like we had our own little special posse, like our own little group. People kept asking, like, how do you get into the club? I got that one a lot, actually, the club. But the feedback I was going to add one more thing, Beth, and then I want to get your, that they said that for the ones who were there, they wanted it to be a main stage item. For the ones who didn't come, came up and heard from other people and said, we really missed out. Sorry, Beth, I cut you off.
Yeah, no, that I was going to say that. So one, everybody wearing pink, even the men, like that was a reoccurring theme that we heard throughout the whole entire Riskalyze conference was you just all really shined and you came to support and just like be out there. So everybody is aware. But at the same time, with it being on the main stage, I do feel like a lot more people would participate. They would be more involved instead of feeling as if it was more of a breakout session. And we did have an excellent turnout. But I could see the demand from everybody to say the content was so amazing and the panels, you know, all of it, it should have been a little more highlighted. And Riskalyze did an amazing job of making sure everything was front and center.
I gotta tell you, they had a conference at a hotel that opened 48 hours before we all arrived. It literally had just opened. So if you can't, I mean, that's a big risk right there. That was crazy.
It was a ribbon cutting ceremony for the hotel at the initial CEO at Aaron's initial announcement, opening of the conference. It was
incredible. Isn't that crazy? I know, right? So they're definitely open to risk, which I love. And I agree with that too, that I'd like to see that on the main stage, you know, and I'm going for it, you know, they know. But I do think that the other part of the Fearless Women's Summit, I also want to give an accolade to Joe Lucas, who had his own session.
Oh, yeah.
He was the middle. He was sort of like the glue that held the two sessions together because he talked about mindset and he allowed everybody to kind of pick his brain. And I have to say, if you have never been to one of his retreats, literally got right with myself for a second there. I went last year, Fort Lauderdale, 3 days, left that. And that was actually what tipped me to finish the Fearless Pledge. Mm-hmm. Like it was really, I came home and I was like, we're ready to go. Cause I had a business plan. It sits on my desk every single day. This is my business plan.
So
every day.
For people listening, explain who Joe Lucas.
Joe Lucas. Yeah.
Thank you. And Magellan.
Yep. Magellan Mastermind and Network. So he was trained under Tony Robbins, and people say that, but no, like legitimately was one of the people really trained under Tony Robbins, but he has an entire planning system, the strategic planning system that he will walk you through this workbook from day one of getting to his retreat to the day that you leave. And I have to tell you, you're not getting out of this without going through every detail of your business. And let me tell you, I don't care how much money you made last year, the year before, what you want to make next year. You walk out of there with a blueprint on how to do your day, how to have morning, you know, ritual success. Because if you don't have a ritual of something you do every day, Scott, I'm going to pick on you. You work out. You talk about the importance of working out. Joe talks about the importance of working out and taking care of yourself and pouring that time into yourself so you can pour into time to do activities like this, right? But he allowed everybody in that middle section of the session of the Fearless Women's Summit at Riskalyze to talk about what's holding you back and to watch some of the light bulbs. Because I had the, I actually moved to the back of the room on purpose to watch people who were leaning in. I couldn't find one person, by the way, on their phone. Not one single person was on their phone the entire time he was talking, and which is good. I mean, great. But, you know, I'm also reality, right? And the fact that the questions that came were so plentiful around, you could tell like they were getting deeper with themselves in just that little snippet of time. Imagine that, but on steroids with a plan, and him going, uh-huh, you're not getting away. Like he's peeling that gray matter back and getting down into the ridge of that brain and going, this is what's holding you back right here. And you have to get really real. And it's really interesting to do this with 60, 75 people in the room who are all very successful by each of their own individual and collectively as a group, right? And to have very similar things that hold you back, mm-hmm. no matter where you're at. It just really was a transformational retreat. And as you know, 2021 was my personal development year. Don't even talk about the mountain in Georgia. We're not talking about this one. And, right. But that retreat, this was so much nicer. Go to Joe's. It's a really beautiful experience. And he gave a little snippet of that during Fearless Women.
Well, it was really, I was extremely impressed just in him as a person.
Amen.
And that it was, I mean this in the best way of informal, of not being scripted, not having a slide deck, just going off of, you know, his knowledge and being very direct of saying, look, ask me anything. I'm an open book. This is your time. I'm just here to help provide any assistance and guidance with my expertise and background. And it was one of those things where it started out slow, but as things started, it was rolling, and it could have gone on for half a day that way.
Of
question after question and unpacking this topic and that topic. And so very, very well done. And it was a great centerpiece for the two bookends.
It was very intentional, again, very strategic of why we did it the way we did. With his, it's funny because once all you have to do is get the third person to ask the question, just so you guys know what the secret sauce is, an open forum. So the first person who asks the question, it's usually something kind of superficial. Mm-hmm. Second question is a smidgen deep. Third gets a little. Fourth question is almost always up. We went right off into the Grand Canyon deep. And then we have to take a time. I mean, watch that in your sessions where you go out and people leave it open forum. One of the things that makes our events very different, again, it goes back to the experience that I talked about, is I only want to speak at events where there's an open mic format so that we are not talking at the audience, that they get to participate. Because there's too often people leave a room with an unanswered question. And I know it because I used to be that person. And now it's like we hand that mic over and say, what would you like to ask? Because I get to learn too. And I feel like it's selfish if we don't do that personally.
Right.
Yeah. I think one of the things too, I mean, one, I was so enamored with him and just how open he was, but also something that I found that was unique was how vulnerable some of the questions and like were. That takes a lot to be able to be that vulnerable in a room full of people that you don't know. But I think the whole Fearless Women Summit brought this comfort to everybody who participated, that it was a safe space to be able to express those things.
Right. And that's super special.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it. Like, I feel like what you just said there is, it's part of the secret sauce, is like, we can peel back the wound. And we're not going to let you bleed out in front of everybody. We're going to sit there and we're going to triage and we're going to take care of you. And after it's done, we're going to feel safe. And although it sounds super kumbaya when you say it out loud, because I trust me, you should hear me say every time I talk about my organization, I'm like, all right, I know how this is going to sound until you experience it. Right. That's exactly what it was. And it made me feel good to watch different people ask different questions and get deeper in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can we talk a little bit about the Fearless Pledge?
Yeah. So that fearless pledge.
That is the fearless pledge.
Yeah. So I actually did a little math before I decided on the number. When I came out and said the fearless pledge is our rally cry to hire, mentor, train, advance 100,000 women by the end of 2025, I watched every face go. And I'm thinking, for real? Do you guys not understand how crowdsourcing, crowdfunding work? It's amazing. Right. GoFundMe, you know, any of them. And I realized I actually talked to a couple of actuaries and said, if we know that the retention and attrition, so how we hold on to people and how the fall off is, right? It's just that there's natural attrition, there's natural retention depending on people's circumstances. It is going to take just for us to barely maintain, which actually means our nose is still kind of dipped a little bit down, three people. So Scott has to recruit and hire three people. Beth has to recruit and hire, and not like literally mean I have to hire them, but we have to get them placed into jobs. So I'm really concerned when people come to me and say, I lost my job. I'm doing everything I can at Females in Finance to place them into another job to keep my own promise at our firm, you know, that women will change, you know, financial services, but now the fearless pledge, right? Five means that we maintain because we know that there's going to be retention and attrition. 10 is where all of a sudden we do the tip where it tips up. And remember, it only took one extra bulkhead of the Titanic to sink. One.
Right.
And that's what it hit. And that's why that sucker sunk. And it would, because it was iron. Same situation for us. It's just that little bitty difference that's going to tip our growth and trajectory to go up. So if that's the case, I would like to see every one of us at least commit to 10, whether that's hire someone, mentor 10 people, train people, whatever that looks like for you. 10. We can all do 10. We can all sponsor 10 people.
Right.
I get up every day and I'm responsible for 4,137. Trust me, we can do 10.
Yeah.
And I don't say that because I think I'm special. But my point is that one person really can ripple that pond. Or can do that butterfly effect as Andy Andrews always talks about.
Absolutely.
I believe it.
Doing our part. So where do people go to find out more about Females in Finance, get involved with Cheryl and the universe?
The universe. Making oh, goodness. A difference. The universe, you can go to Gus. It's God, universe. What is it? That's what I do. I call it God, universe, and spirit. In Gus, we trust. But outside of that, if you want to learn about the Fearless Pledge, go to fearlesspledge.com. It'll take you right to the right space on our site, and you can start learning. Otherwise, you can just go to femalesandfinance.com and check us out and see what we're all about. And I want to say before this ends, too, how much I'm grateful for your sponsorship, Scott.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's a really big deal. We can't do the work we do without folks like yourself. So anybody listening, thanks. Wow. I really want to help. One of the ways you can do that is, become a sponsor. Engage. It really does help.
Absolutely.
It really does. It helps us keep our programming because here's the thing. A lot of things, remember the experience part we talked about at the beginning. What a lot of people don't know, Beth's probably more familiar just because some of the relationships that we have behind the scenes. I get a lot of calls when people contact me and say things like, I had to hire a sitter because, you know, COVID was really difficult. If you only knew how many people I've helped with their tuition reimbursement, or their tuition that didn't get reimbursed, rather, I should say, or shoring up some things, or, hey, I need to get my insurance books. I can't afford them because I had to pay a sitter. There's a lot of things like that. That's very, I don't want to use the word embarrassing, but it's just unexpected. And we do a lot behind the scenes to help individuals with those things. So if you want to know where your money's being spent, it really is being spent on women in this profession to make it a better place for us to grow. And every bottom line says that bringing women and, you know, anyone who is a Black or Brown professional into the market actually increases our bottom line. So if you just want to be selfish, it will help you make more money. So please help us out.
With that, we do look at it as an investment, not money spent. And I will tell you, it's a blessing and it's honorable to be in the position to help make an impact. So well,
I'm grateful. And I get to spend time with you guys. So
to many more. Yes, you do. What a cool crew.
Never getting rid of this crew. No, I'm joking. You know, I got mad love for you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a good conversation. Until next time.
Right on. Wonderful.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Please subscribe, like, share, leave a comment, or review. Be sure to check us out on social media at Optimized Advisor Podcast. Till next time.